We're holding Mishle Yud Chet. And we did this, we're quickly reviewing it for our listeners. So we're going to run through the first few verses because we did them already, just the recording got lost. L'ta'ava yivakesh nifrad. If a person is separate from the Ribon Shom, then the reason is because he's seeking out his ta'ava. That's what usually causes us to leave Hashem. We're looking for the physical. The Torah, on the one hand, really gives us freedom, but on the other hand, at first glance, and when a person doesn't connect, so then he feels like it's constricting. And when he separates himself, so then really it's because he's seeking out tava. And when he'll be among the rabbis, then it'll be recognizable where he's holding. We see it by Lot. Lot left Avram. Why? Because he wanted to get the lush lands of the Sodomites. And ultimately, when we read in the Torah that his offsprings may not marry into the Jewish people, so his shame is revealed. A fool is not interested in knowledge, he just wants to let everyone know what he thinks. When a Rasha walks in, so shame walks in as well. Ve'im kalon chirpa, and together with their shame comes, there's internal shame, external shame. When a person chooses ways that are improper, so initially that's what he wants. But when, who was it, Billy Graham, one of his great speakers was caught with a woman, so even he was shamed by it. Ultimately, a person, the world looks shamefully upon the ways of certain people. So ultimately, that gets revealed as well. The words of a man have great depth if we listen closely to what they say, especially if he is an ish, if he is a person of stature, that's worth hearing what he has to say. And the sources of wisdom are like a stream that's flowing, that has depth, and when you hear something, so you hear it on one level at one age, and when you get older, you hear it on another level. I was recently talking to some relatives of mine who are passing their middle age now, and they told me, it's amazing. As we gain life experience, the things that the rabbis told us years ago, suddenly we see so much more depth. They were so right. We heard it, yeah, we heard it all the years. But now, as we get older and we have more experience, we appreciate it differently. Se'et p'nei rasha lo tov. When one gives honor to one who is evil, so then that's not good. It's not good for the person himself, because when you honor him, so he feels like, what difference does it make that I'm not a good person? Everyone's giving me the honor anyways, and it's not good for everyone around him, because they feel like, look, he's still getting all the honor. La'tot tzadik b'mishpat. And ultimately, this tilts the scale against the tzadik. And here there's a midrash that explains it, that tov la'tot tzadik b'mishpat. It's good for the tzadik, even when he is judged improperly, because even though he's losing in this world, but ultimately he's getting more in the world to come. He's wiping his slate clean in this world. Siftei chasil yavo v'riv. A fool is quick to join a fight. You see him joining fights, even verbal fights. He's quick to join. Ufiv l'malumot yikra. And really his mouth is constantly calling to get self-affliction. The fool doesn't realize that he invites the stumbling blocks that causes fall. The mouth of a fool is always a fear, a source of his own downfall. His lips are the source of the downfall of his soul. The words of a complainer are like blows. And ultimately they enter the depths of one's stomach. The complainer thinks, I'm just complaining, I'm just kvetching. No, they're like blows. Gam mitrapev im nachto. A person who is taking his job easily, lightly, lazily, he too, achu levan mashchit, is a brother is connected with a person who is destructive. A person can't think just because I'm just being lazy. I'm doing my job. I'm just not doing it with all my strength. Yeah, the Pasuk tells us he too is connected. He's like a brother to someone who's destructive. He's also a source of destruction. Migdal Oz, Shem Hashem, Bo Yarutz, Tzadik V'Nisgav. When one chooses his source of strength to be God's name, so then he's chosen a tower that's fortified, a tower of strength. And not only that, but one who wants to run, one who is a tzaddik and he runs with Hashem at his side, so to speak, so then wherever he goes, he gets even stronger. Boyarut tzaddik, with the name of Hashem, a tzaddik can run, v'nisgav, and remain strong, remain protected. Hon ashir kriyat uzo. I think this is where we left off. Maybe not. Hon Ashir, the wealth of a wealthy person. Kiryat Uzo, that's where he feels he has his strength. Uchechomanis gava b'maskito. And his wealth is like a fortified fortress, and he feels like because it's b'maskito, because it's in his well-tiled rooms, he has good fortification. So the tzaddik's fortification is God's name, and the wealthy person's fortification is his wealth. Lifnei shever Yigba Levish, a person gets haughty, and that's usually a prelude to a breaking point, to fracture. Velifnei Chavod Anava, and the prelude to real honor is when a person is modest. If he's modest, then he'll attain real honor. Meshiv Davar Beterem Yishma, if one responds before he really hears, Ivelet Hilo Uchlima, it's foolishness, it's really shame for the person. Very often people interject, people interrupt someone else, and they respond. They had heard everything the person has to say. That's to their own shame. Ruach ish yichalkel machaleu. The spirit of a person supports his illness. When a person feels lousy, so that supports his sickness, that causes him to feel even more sick. Pasuk Yud Dalet, Mishlei Yud Ches Yud Dalet. So long as a person has good spirit, so then his spirit can take his illness. So long as his spirit isn't broken. Ruach ish, the spirit of a person, yichalkel machaleu, can take on his illness. That's what sustains him during an illness. The ruach nicha, but if his spirit is broken, mi yisaena, so then who could handle a broken spirit? That's what I once had a friend of mine who had psychological issues. He told me, you know, when a person gets sick, when a person has a broken arm, or a person has a physical illness, so he feels, okay, I'll overcome it. But when a person has a psychological issue, so then it's like he's fighting himself. He has to overcome himself. It's an internal battle, and that's far more difficult, because who's doing the fighting? He was explaining to me how difficult his life was. He was explaining it after he had attempted suicide. He said, "How can I take on my own life? I'm supposed to like win an internal battle." I'm just saying this because sometimes people have a tendency not to take psychological illnesses seriously, and we should. We have to be caring and to recognize that it's the most difficult thing to battle. Everything else, a person at least has his spirit to battle with. Here, a person is fighting to overcome his spirit. Lev Navon Yikne Dat. An understanding heart tries to acquire knowledge. The Ozen Chachamim Tevakesh Dat. And when a person hasn't yet gotten tvuna, but he's chacham. He's attained, he has a tradition, he's learned that at least he doesn't yet have tvuna, but he has chokhmah. He also seeks out that. Matan adam yalchiv lo. When a person gives, he ultimately makes things better for himself. V'lifnei gdolim yonchenu, and that places him before great people. It's interesting. I was in a position a year ago where it fell upon me, I had to deal with a certain stuff. I wasn't planning on dealing with it, but it fell on me like there was no one else dealing with it, and I was in a position where I was the only one who could, and it took a lot of time. And I felt bad many times. Like I took a lot of the time of learning. So it's a mitzvah. Yeah, I'm happy to do mitzvah, but I was sad I was losing all the learning. And in retrospect, after the story finished, I was able to look back, and because I was involved in that issue, I got to know many great people in the community because they were also involved in stuck issues. So because I was involved, so I ended up getting to know people I never knew. I've been living next to them for 10 years. I never had anything to do with them. So matan adam, when a person gives yachiv lo, it widens, he gains out of it. It puts him before great people. It pushes him to places where he would have never gotten otherwise. So our sages said that the pasuk is telling us that when we give tzedakah, we'll have a greater portion in the world to come. And even in this world, it'll put us closer to great people. Tzedik harishon berivo uva.
Yeah. We're told that if we give tzedakah, this and that, we get this and this, we get great things. But on the other hand, we say this to these other people, we're told to do the mitzvah just for the sake, because Hashem told us.
So right. We do it because God told us. But at the same time, sometimes we have to contend with our yetzer hara. So there we should remind ourselves, hey, I'm getting out of this too. That shouldn't be a person's primary goal, but you know what? Very often we need to give ourselves that encouragement. Every person at some point needs encouragement. We saw the Rambam in the introduction to Chelek that even a rabbi when he's learning needs that that encouragement that, hey, I'm gonna, one day I'll be the great rabbi, the chief rabbi. On your level you need it. It seems from the Rambam that at every level a person needs it. A person attains high, high levels that the Rambam says that are, I think, way beyond where we can expect to get, then a person doesn't need it. But at our level, we always need it, external encouragement.
So, are they saying that even if you do something that is no lishmaya, it will eventually be lishmaya?
Hopefully. There are levels in lishma. What?
In case it's stuck.
We say we should always do things even if we don't have the best intent, even if it's not yet lishma. Because ultimately, hopefully, it'll bring us to lishma. Sadiq harishon berivo. When the first guy walks in and he makes his claim, he always seems like a tzaddik. There's a fight. Two kids are fighting. So the first one who makes his claim, they always sound like they're right. Uvareo v'chakaro. But when the friend comes in and he makes his claim, then you realize that you have to verify what really went on here. So the pasuk is warning us not to make judgment when we've only heard one side. Midyanim yashbita goral. When we make a lottery, that can settle different fights. Uvena tzumim yafrid. And the lots can discern between two great people. If two big people are fighting, so neither one wants to give in. I want mine. Oh, we'll fight it. Oh, let's draw lots. So then the lot isn't stronger. Not stronger than anyone, but bottom line, if we agree that we're going by lots, so the lot can discern between even great people. Ach nifsha mikiryat oz. If a brother separates from his brother, sometimes two brothers have a fight, and one says, "I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore." Ach nifsha, he's the rebellious brother. He's separating himself from his brother. Mikiryatos, he separated himself from a source of strength, like Lot separated himself from Avram, or Esav separated himself from Yaakov. So they lost. They lost the strength when family is the greatest source of strength. There's a saying that blood isn't water. So family is strength. Friends, they're good, they're excellent, they're amazing, but friends come and go. Family is always family, unless you come and say they're not family. When a person says, "Ach nifsha, I'm a rebellious brother, I don't want to have anything to do with you," nothing, zero. A person separates himself, he separated himself from a tremendous strength. Umidyanim kivriach almon. And the fights that's between them, if that can separate them forever, like a bolt of a palace. When you bolt a palace, you're bolting it to ensure no one can ever walk in. So fights between brothers can sometimes cause an eternal separation between them, just like the bolt of a palace. Mipri, so this can be understood two ways. And this can be understood as a person shouldn't think that he can make a fight with his brother and he'll break ties with him and he'll always be able to make up. It's not necessarily so. Sometimes we burn our bridges. But I think it could also be understood a different way. That it's like a bolt to a palace. So Rashi says, the first way I said, that a fight between brothers will always can separate them eternally. I think, not for Rashi, who am I to say an alternate pshat, but I think there's room to understand it differently. That just like the bolt of a palace is open sometimes, people sometimes enter, so too the bolts between brothers is something that can be opened. And I see the Mitzuda really brings this pshat. That as big as a fight is, it's only like the bolt of a palace. But, it can be bolted and it's very strong, but bolts are also opened. Mipri fi ish tispa bitno. A person's stomach is satiated from the fruits of his mouth, meaning what we say can make us advance on the financial ladder or go down. And when we gain, so it's the fruit of our mouths very often. Tvoat tzifatav yisba. We reap the crops of our lips. Mavet v'chaim biyad lashon. Life and death are in the hands of the tongue. And whoever loves his tongue and takes care to train himself to talk properly, to use his tongue for the correct things, so he'll ultimately eat the fruits of this. So the Medrash says that Yov was learning this and he didn't understand this. He couldn't understand what David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech's chief general, what was his name? I forgot. Shlomo HaMelech's general was learning this and he couldn't understand what Shlomo HaMelech meant by this. Why is life and death in the hand of the tongue? In the hand of the tongue. So the Medrash says that once a non-Jewish king was ill and his doctors told him that he needs to get milk from a female lion. So he sent word to King Solomon, "Tell me, how do I get milk? You're a wise man. Send me your general to get me milk from a female lion." So Shlomo HaMelech sent this general. And the general, he had the following advice. He's going to give the lioness, every day he gives her a sheep, which she feeds her children, and every day he gets a little bit closer, until finally she lets him pet it. And then finally the day comes when he knows she's going to let him milk it, and he gets the milk for the king. And he's on the way back, and he has a dream. And in his dream, his body parts are arguing. Each one says, "I deserve the honor." The feet say, "What do you mean? Without me, you couldn't have come close to the line to come close and get the milk." And the hands say, "Yeah, but I patted it gently and I held the sheep." And the head says, "Yeah, but I had the idea." And each body part has a claim. Until finally the tongue says, "Listen, I run the show here. I get all the honor." And the other body parts say, "You? What did you do? You didn't say anything to the lioness. Why do you think you deserve anything?" So the tongue said, "I'm warning you that if you don't respect the fact that I have the final say in this world, and it's all thanks to me, I'm going to make you all pay." So the body parts said, "Ha." And then he woke up. He comes before the king. And brings the milk, and the king tells him, "What'd you bring me?" And he tells him, "I brought you dog's milk." So the king says, "What? send them to the dungeon. So they take him to be executed. And then the tongue starts speaking to the other body parts. Who's king? Tell me. Am I getting you out of this or not? So they all say, no, we admit, you're the boss. He tells the people taking him away, wait, the king misunderstood me. Do me a favor, bring me back before the king. So they bring him back before the king, and he explains to the king that in his language, the term to use for a young lioness is the same term to use for a female dog. So the king misunderstood him. And really it's from a lioness, and he brought it from a lioness, and the king drank, and he got better. So that's the medrash, the famous medrash around Mavet v'chaim b'yad lashon, life and death are in the hand of the tongue. Matza isha matza tov. If a man found a wife, then he found all the good that there is. The greatest good can come from a wife. V'yafek ratzon me'ashem, and he gets, through being married to a good wife, he will get goodwill from Hashem. Our sages taught us that make your wives happy, they are the source for your world to come. So a person has to seek a good wife, and a person after he's married has to know that this is the source of his world to come. There's a famous Gemara that the Gemara quotes this verse, and the Gemara says, if you found a good wife, you found good. And then the Gemara quotes a different place in Koheles that in Ecclesiastes King Solomon said, "Umotzani mal mimavet et aisha." I find the woman more bitter than death. So the Gemara says that in Ma'arava, in the west, out in Israel, after a person would get married, so he'd come the next morning to Sheva Brachas, his friends would ask him, "Matzal motze, what kind of wife did you get? Is she one of those now that you're married? Is she a woman that you found, a woman you found all the good in the world? Or I find the woman to be more bitter than death." So the question is, what are they asking him? Does he know a day after marriage? And what kind of question is this? What's it their business? He's freshly married, they're asking him what kind of wife he married. So I saw a beautiful pshat. I don't remember who wrote it, but he writes the following. He was a rabbi in Europe, and he says there's a serious problem going on now. People, I guess he had pretty modern congregants. He says people get married, and after they're married, there's mixed dancing, and they dance with other people's wives, and they're looking all around, and you see that a man's married, but he's looking at everyone else. So I want to explain to them what pshat is in this Gemara. We have two verses. One verse says, matzah, if a person has found isha, one woman, then matzah tov, he found good. If when a person gets married, his eyes are only for his wife, in his mind, he found a woman, finished. He found the woman. He found his wife, then matzah tov, he found good. But if a person is umotzeani, I am finding, if after marriage a person is still looking around to see other people's wives, to see how other people's marriages are doing, to see how good looking other people's wives are, to see how good looking other bachelor women are, so then his life is going to be more bitter than that. I had a friend once who was contemplating divorce. And one of the things he said, I see there are a lot of good girls out there. There are a lot of girls that don't get married. They're 30, they're 32, and I do jobs, and I get to meet them, and I could easily marry someone else, and there are a lot of good girls out there. And my wife, she's not willing to give in on A, B, and C, and I don't see why I should continue. I have these spiritual aspirations. I want to go live out in Eid Nachlut. I want to go out and teach, and I want to do all kinds of things. And she wants to live in a hashpash community in this house. And I don't see why we should continue. So I told him that after marriage, one's perspective has to change. Before marriage, so you should look for someone that has the same aspirations as you. But you're married. You have quite a number of children already. And you can't approach it out of the perspective there are all these girls out there. First of all, once you look at marriage that way, marriage isn't going to work. Marriage is going to be bitter. That's this. I find the woman. If you're still finding, that's what they'd ask him the morning after marriage. If you're still finding the morning after marriage, if you're still looking at what's out there, what kind of person are you, they were asking him the morning after marriage. They weren't asking what kind of wife did you get. They were asking, did you get this message Do you have it clear the morning after marriage that this is the one woman you found? She's yours. She's the source of good in your life. Or are you the type of person that you're going to come here the morning after and you're coming to Shev Bras and you're still going to be looking at the other women present? Are you Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, or are you Umotzah Ani, I'm still finding? I told him also, the Gemara teaches us that Dayenu, it's enough. Once a person's married, his perspective has to be, it's enough. They bring up our children to Torah and they prevent us from sinning by the fact that we're married, so we can contain ourselves, we can be better people. So that's enough. She's doing the bare minimum, those two. She's behaving like your wife and she's bringing up your kids to Torah. She's not giving them port. She is teaching them how to be good people and she's bringing them up to Torah. You can't expect more for her. You have other spiritual aspirations. Okay, so that's not what your job is in this world. Yeah?
That will let you live your full potential and discover what he says,
that's before you're married.
But if you're aware that's limiting you to...
She's not limiting you. So, bottom line, at this point, she's your wife, then you have to figure out, you have other potentials. Between me and you, he was wrong in his potential. He had greater potential to do good where he was. He was stuck onto a certain idea. It's an incorrect perspective once one is married. The perspective has to be, now it's us. That's a given. What potential do we have? And if it doesn't fit for her to live in that area, so then that's not part of our potential.
Don't you think this society today has women have too much, I'm not saying too much or too less, I'm just saying that the roles have been changed in a way
Possibly, but I think also there's an incorrect perspective as to what women's position should be in a marriage. Shalom. There's Chazal's perspective was giving women a lot of power within the marriage. As we saw an hour ago, I'm sorry, we just discussed it. The Gemara says that all things that have to do with this world, that's her domain. His domain is things that have to do with the world to come. If it's a question of should we get a Lamborghini or should we get a Porsche, she should make it call the shot.
She should decide that, but I think also that the wife should encourage the husband for Kiddush, and if she was raised for Torah and for the right purposes in life.
I think that's true, ideally.
But
pre-marriage...
Your friend, and she wants to live in a hard-core society. The guy wants to do issue with it.
Very nice. That's a problem. They have to work it out. But that's not a reason for divorce. It's for sure a problem. They have to work it out. But even if he'll have to give in his whole life, that's not a reason for divorce.
There are situations that are dominated by egos that can, like in this situation, that cannot be worked out.
So they can't be worked out, so he has to give in. Right? He has to give in. Yeah, for sure. That's what he said. That the question is, what's one's perspective? Shlomo HaMelech is saying one's perspective in marriage has to be Matzah Isha. I found a woman Matzah Tov. Then my perspective, if I have that perspective, then I'll attain Matzah Tov. I found good. His problem began with the fact that he was doing what Kohelet says in Kohelet. Umotzani, I'm still finding. He was still saying, well, I see all these nice girls out there, and my wife isn't willing to give in on this point. I have other options. I'll end up marrying someone else. Doesn't work that way. Before marriage, fine, check out your options. You're married to this woman, now you have to make it work. So she doesn't want to live in a yeshuv, so that's his problem. So he can't walk out of there, he can't come into life with that perspective. Once he's married, the perspective has to be, Matzah Isha, I found the wife. I want to... Tachanunim yedaber rash. A pauper is accustomed to speaking in a begging fashion. V'ashir yaneh zot. And it's customary that a wealthy person speaks proudly. And that's their heritage. That even if the wealthy person speaks to him in a manner that's brazen, the poor person should still have their heritage and speak in a humbler manner. There's a concept in halacha that we do owe a wealthy person a certain amount of respect. When the Mishnah says that we pause our Kriyat Shema to greet a person who we owe honor to, one of the examples is a wealthy person. We have to give certain respect to a wealthy person. Look it up. Yeah, it's a Russian bracha.
Giving respect to every person in the world, but making emphasis on giving respect to a wealthy person?
Yeah. There's extra respect that we owe a wealthy person beyond what we owe our fellow man. We're not talking about that type of Asha. We say that if God gave this person the power that comes with wealth, then I have to honor this person. There's a reason why God gave him the responsibility that comes along with wealth. There's a lot of responsibility and a lot of potential to do good and to do harm, and God gave him that power. Why do I have to honor the king? Why do I have to honor Omar? Why? So what? So he's the king. So the concept is God gave him power. We believe that no one gets power in this world. No one is appointed, even if we're talking about who's going to manage the crop. Who's going to be in charge of all the workers who are harvesting the crop. If he was given that position, yeah, we say...
What if this person is wealthy and Amarsha?
Okay, so then we have to figure out the balance. Sometimes we discussed earlier in this chapter that we don't give honor to Hashem. On the other hand, we do have to give honor to wealthy people. So, depending on the situation, we'll define what the response has to be.
When is healthy, healthy?
What do you mean healthy? I didn't follow.
When are wealthy? When is someone wealthy?
I don't know. I don't know how to define how much wealth defines wealth. I don't know. I think when it's enough that he has influence. Yeah, today I don't know if $1 million in the bank is considered wealthy today. Maybe in this country, yes. In the United States, I don't think so. You think $1 million is? I don't think so. $1 million in the bank? In this country, I think it's wealthy. I don't think in the United States it's wealthy. If you have assets that are producing $100,000 a year, so then maybe...
Then you have more than $1 million.
Ish re'im... I didn't say a year. I said in your bank. If you're making $1 million a year, then you're wealthy. If you're if you have $1 million in the bank, I don't think you're wealthy. I don't think so halachically. I mean, ishrim nitroa, but I'm not sure. If a person has a lot of friends, so there'll still come a time when he'll need them, and they'll bring him close. A person shouldn't always think I have a lot of friends, so I could let a few go. No, it's always good for a person to have friends, and a person should love having friends and should be happy to acquire friends. The yeshohev davek mach, and we should remember that you sometimes can have a friend who's even closer than a brother, and that's why a person shouldn't think lightly of attaining friends. Friendship is something that's very valued. And among all your friends, you might still find a friend that's even closer than a brother. So that's with that we finish the 18th chapter.